The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus came home with his disciples. Again the crowd gathered, making it impossible for them even to eat. When his relatives heard of this, they set out to seize him, for they said, "He is out of his mind." The scribes who had come from Jerusalem said, "He is possessed by Beelzebul, and by the prince of demons he drives out demons." Summoning them, he began to speak to them in parables. "How can Satan drive out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand. That is the end of him. But no one can enter a strong man's house to plunder his property unless he first ties up the strong man. Then he can plunder the house. Amen, I say to you, all sins and all blasphemies that people utter will be forgiven them. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an everlasting sin." For they had said, "He has an unclean spirit." His mother and his brothers arrived. Standing outside, they sent word to him and called him. A crowd seated around him told him, "Your mother and your brothers and your sisters are outside waiting, asking for you." But he said to them in reply, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking around at those seated in the circle, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I am very happy and privileged today to be here to do this mission appeal. I thank Father Peter, all of you, and the mission office of Boston for giving this privilege and opportunity to my diocese, Baghdogra, in India. Incidentally, today's gospel has many interesting insights about mission. Firstly, we all must be passionate about spreading God's kingdom. Jesus is going about preaching the good news of the kingdom, not considering his own personal needs and convenience. He has no time even to eat, rest, and to be with his family. How much time do we give for God's work? Secondly, we need to be prepared for criticism, opposition, and insult in doing God's work. Scribes think that Jesus is doing everything with the power of devil. Ordinary people think that he has gone out of his mind. Even his own relatives think that he is overdoing it. But Jesus is focused and undeterred by the challenges he is facing and keeps doing his Father's work. Thirdly, before ascending into heaven, Jesus' command to his disciples was to go out and proclaim the kingdom to the ends of the earth. Hence, proclaiming Jesus to the world is our duty as Christians, though it may have to be done by each one according to one's unique situation, status, and ability. However, our aim and focus as Christians must be to spread the love of God in obedience to His Son's command. When we fail or do not do what we are commanded to do, we have to answer the question which was put by God to Adam and Eve, "Where are you?" Can we answer without fear that we are busy witnessing to Jesus and His kingdom values? This way, we will truly become a father, a mother, a brother and a sister of Jesus by doing God's will. Missionary work must be a united effort of the church. It must not be merely the work of the bishops, priests and nuns, but everyone must do it unitedly. That's why Jesus says, "A house divided against itself cannot stand." Church, to survive, we all must cooperate with the bishops and the diocese, giving whatever spiritual and material support we can, and not be unreasonable to criticize and find fault with church officials and its leadership. In this context, my dear brothers and sisters, therefore let me now briefly share with you my message and mission appeal. Basing his reflection on Matthew chapter 24, the parable of the wedding feast, Pope Francis, in his message for Mission Sunday 2024, has this to say. I quote, "Master of the wedding feast asks his servants to go and invite everyone to the banquet, to the wedding feast," unquote. This obviously means that they are to invite everyone, irrespective of their status, occupation, race, religion, or region of the invitees. Everyone is privileged to be part of the wedding feast, the heavenly banquet. It is because of this spirit of mission and missionaries that I am standing here before you, though I am from a completely different culture and country, that is India. Speaking about India, currently it has a population of 1.4 billion. Of this, only a small percentage, 2% or little more, are Christians, which still amount to 28 million, mostly Catholics, living among majority of Hindus, Muslims, and other religious groups. Christians face a lot of hardships. Different policies of the state at different times have made it often difficult for Christians to live their fundamental calling to be missionary. In spite of being a small minority and all the other hurdles they face, the Church in India has been facing, it still has great impact, especially in the field of education and health. Though Christianity had arrived in India as early as first century with the arrival of St. Thomas to Kerala in the first century, for almost 15 centuries, the faith was practiced only by a small minority just in the extreme south of India. But with the arrival of the Jesuit missionaries in 1542, beginning with St. Francis Xavier in Goa near Mumbai, Christianity spread to the rest of the regions of India. Many of the people in US, when I introduce myself that I am Felix Pinto, they wonder how my name is Pinto, which is, some of you may know, is Portuguese. The Jesuit missionaries who followed St. Francis Xavier to India gave their own names to those who got converted to Christianity. And the Jesuit missionary who converted my forefathers was a Pinto, hence obviously I became Pinto. With more and more missionaries arriving in India from Europe and America, Christianity spread to the various cities and villages, especially in the north. From Europe, they came from Italy, France, Germany, Ireland, Belgium, and from America, from your own city, Boston, from Baltimore, and from Canada, Montreal, and Toronto, fathers were working in India. As a young boy in Mangalore, where I was born, my high school studies were in a very famous Jesuit college, and I was staying in a boarding run by the Franciscan missionaries. They encouraged and promoted vocations to the mission territory in the north of India, where Christianity hadn't spread much. That is how, at the age of 16, in 1972, traveling for 4 days by train, I reached Darjeeling, which is on the eastern border of Nepal in the Himalayas. I was ordained in the year 1982 as a missionary priest for the Diocese of Darjeeling, which was created in 1962, dividing it from Calcutta, the Diocese of Mother Teresa. You may be amused to know that when I began my college in Darjeeling, I was both surprised and inspired to see many missionaries, white, tall, big, holy, inspiring. And they were from where? From Toronto and Montreal. They spoke, which I understood nothing, both because of their accent and because of my own ignorance of the language. So that is how we were formed by missionaries from Europe and America. And in my seminary too, there were American Jesuit priests teaching us. Our last Jesuit priest in Darjeeling died about 8 years ago. Through the hard work of the Jesuit missionaries, as well as a few other missionaries belonging to different religious congregations, there was much progress in both missionary and social fields in the Diocese of Darjeeling, to which I belonged originally. There was increase in the number of Catholics, along with the rise of the number of local vocations to priesthood. Because of this, and due to some other pastoral reasons, the Diocese of Darjeeling was further divided, and Diocese of Baghdogra, to which I belong now since 25 years, was created in the year 1997. The Diocese of Baghdogra has now 60,000 Catholics, 43 diocesan clergy, 38 religious priests, 98 religious women, 37 seminarians, and over 300 catechists, both trained and untrained, running 21 parishes, 78 mass centers, 36 schools, 13 boardings, a rural hospital, one orphanage, and a couple of social service centers, along with other charity works. The majority of our Catholics are tribals, working in the hot sun and rain in the tea gardens of the plains of Darjeeling, producing famous Darjeeling tea, which many of you may be familiar with. Because of the meager wages, poor education, and lower social status, the situation of most of them is very vulnerable, needing help from the church. The diocese has to support them, not merely for pastoral needs, but also for the medical, educational, and other emergencies of many of them. Diocese cannot expect any financial support from such poor people. Often it is the other way around. Diocese has to help them in their needs, both material and financial. Being a mission and a new diocese, we have very poor and inadequate infrastructure. Many of the churches and chapels need major maintenance and even rebuilding. Priest residences need big repair work. Funds are required for the training of the seminarians and catechists. Funds are also required to conduct camps, courses, and programs for children, youth, adults, in order to strengthen their new faith about which they are very serious. Though the diocese is already 25 years old, it hasn't got a proper bishop's residence and a curia. Work on it has been going on, but due to lack of funds and the work is long delayed. Further, post-COVID, little money that the diocese was receiving has been drastically reduced. However, amidst all our difficulties and challenges, I am happy to tell you that most of our small and simple churches have huge congregation and regular attendance for masses and religious programs. There was a time when all your beautiful and grand and huge churches had overflowing congregation, good number of priests serving, and a numerous masses said in them. You sent missionaries to our country, but sadly, this reality is fast changing around you. But it's so wonderful to see that this church is quite full and with young people. Let that situation which is prevailing not be a cause of disappointment, but a reason for more prayer, deeper faith, and greater generosity towards missions. One time you gave us faith, missionaries, and money, but now for obvious reasons, it may not be possible, but still you can support us with your prayers and financial support. We, on our part, will support you with our prayers and to some extent with priests and religious, which you partly see already in your country, number of Asians, Indians coming. To conclude, we all are called to be missionaries, to spread Christ's message of love and salvation to all and always. According to the times and situation, we just have to change probably our methods and adapt to new ways, asking God to give us wisdom and courage to be missionaries according to His plans and according to His designs. May God bless us all.